Hey guys, welcome back to Bloodshed and Bagels, where we sit down and talk about true crime cases while enjoying our morning bagel. I'm your host, Heather, and well, I don't want to bore you with nonsense, so let's get right to it. This is one of the biggest mysteries in Central Ohio. What happened to Brian Schaefer? Today, the day that I'm recording this, is actually 15 years to the day when this case took place. Brian Schaefer was born February 25th, 1979. Wow, that's 3 days before I was born. He grew up in Pickerington, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus. He is the oldest of two boys. He graduated high school in 1997 and went on to Ohio State University. In 2003, he graduated with a degree in microbiology, and in 2004, he enrolled at Ohio State University College of Medicine. He told his friends that while he had made the decision to pursue a career in medicine, his real ambition was to start a band. He loved Pearl Jam and even had a tattoo of one of their covers on his arm. In March 2006, his mother Renee passed away of a rare blood cancer. And although he seemed to be handling it well, his friends said it was really hard on him. After starting medical school, Brian became involved with another medical student, Alexis Wagoner, and she thought Brian would be proposing later that year, probably on a trip they had planned to Miami the beginning of April for spring break. So on April 2nd, 2006, after Alexis was unable to reach Brian all day Saturday, the day before, she actually went by his apartment when she returned home. See, she had been out of town visiting family. She had also tried to call, but was never able to reach him. Brian's father had even sent his brother Derek over to Brian's apartment to check on him Sunday afternoon. Then, that evening, after no one was able to locate him, Alexis, Derek, and Randy, along with Randy's neighbor, a police detective, conducted a small search, checking dumpsters and talking to people on the streets to see if anyone remembered seeing him. The next day, Monday, April 3rd, 2006, was the day they were supposed to leave for their trip to Miami. Alexis waited for Brian at the airport. She knew he wouldn't miss this flight unless something was really wrong. Alexis waited as the plane started boarding. And by the final boarding call, she knew something was seriously wrong. He never showed. So Alexis and Randy tried to put together a timeline to see if they could figure out where he was last seen. So we're going to go back a couple of days. March 31st, Brian had had dinner with Randy at Outback Steakhouse in Reynoldsburg, which is about 20 minutes away from campus. Now, after that, he goes to a bar, the Ugly Tuna Saluna, to meet his old roommate, William Clint Florence. We'll call him Clint for the rest of the case. Brian talks to Alexis on the phone around 10 p.m., and she said everything seemed fine with him then. Nothing was out of the ordinary. And Clint and Brian have a few drinks at the Ugly Tuna Saluna and head out to a few more bars. They were having a shot at each stop, working their way down the Arena District. Now, after midnight, they met up with another friend of Clint's. Her name is Meredith Reed. She gave them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna, where they had began their night, and joined them for one last round of drinks. Now, at some point, Brian had gotten separated from Clinton Meredith, and they tried to find him. They called him several times, and when they couldn't locate him inside the bar, Clint even checked the restrooms. The bar closed around 2 a.m., and as the crowd left, they decided to wait outside for Brian. When he never came out, they just assumed that he'd already left and went back to his apartment. His place wasn't that far and within walking distance, so this was the last time anyone is claiming to see him. No one talked to him Saturday or Sunday. Randy decided he needed to report Brian missing. So police checked the local hospitals and shelters, but there was no sign of Brian anywhere. Alexis gets the word out on social media for everyone to spread the word and to be on the lookout for him. A tip line is set up and volunteers start getting missing person flyers out. The police pull the surveillance footage from the Ugly Tuna Saluna for the night Brian went missing, and he's there. They find him on the footage, going back in, at around 1:15 a.m. on April 1st. He seems to be fine and not overly drunk. Brian is plainly seen entering the Ugly Tuna. Now, as I already talked about, he got separated from Clinton Meredith at some point. So the police watched the rest of the footage, trying to find when Brian comes back out of the bar. Well, at 1:55 a.m., he's barely seen again at the door of the bar talking to two girls. So the police continue looking for Brian when he leaves the bar. But they never see him on the surveillance footage again. The only other exit was to a freight elevator that leads to a construction site. It would have been pretty impossible to navigate in the dark and drunk. There was no surveillance footage from the Ugly Tuna covering this door, but there are some other businesses that had cameras that covered the door. The police did pull footage from three other bars, and Brian was never shown coming out of that door either. It's like he vanished inside that bar. Early in the investigation, the police bring in Clint and Meredith for questioning. Meredith claims she has no clue what happened to Brian that night and agrees to take a polygraph. She passes. Clint, on the other hand, refuses to take a polygraph and gets a lawyer. This instantly makes him look suspicious. According to Sergeant John Hurst, who was the lead investigator on Brian's case, actually said that Clint and Brian had gotten into a verbal argument that night at the bar, but nothing is ever found that links Clint to Brian's disappearance, so they have to keep searching. The two women Brian was seen talking to on the surveillance footage were questioned, and neither had any information. A psychic Randy consulted told him Brian's body was in water near a bridge pier. So he and Derek, Brian's brother, along with some other citizens who had become interested in the case, bought waders and spent much of their free time along the shores of the Olentangy River, which flows through Columbus, adjacent to the OSU campus. They were searching in the body of water near bridges. Nothing was ever found. This possibly also led police to briefly consider the heavily disputed smiley face murder theory. Brian, though, under this theory, would have been the killer's only victim whose body had not yet been found. Columbus police eventually rejected any connection to the alleged killer in Brian's case. So Alexis continues to call Brian's phone daily, just hoping he will pick up. Every time it goes straight to voicemail, until about 6 months after his disappearance in September, Alexis calls and it actually rings three times. Now, no one answers, but since it rang, Alexis immediately calls the police and they get a hold of the phone company to try to see where the phone's pinging. They say it was pinging a tower in Hilliard and that it might just be a glitch in the system. There was really nothing showing that the phone had actually been turned back on. There was no activity on the phone since the morning that he went missing. The police follow leads, and sadly, nothing ever pans out, and eventually the case goes cold. Now, on September 14, 2008, Randy was killed by a tree branch falling and hitting him during a windstorm, never knowing what happened to his son. The Columbus Dispatch published Randy's obituary on their website, and someone posted in the comments, quote, "Dad, I love you. Love, Brian," end quote. It shows the post is from the Virgin Islands, so the police pull the website records to see where the comment originated. It was actually posted from a public computer in Franklin County, Ohio. Just another hoax. Man, people suck. So this case stays cold. I mentioned Brian loved Pearl Jam. In 2010, their lead singer, Eddie Vedder, dedicated the song Come Back to Brian at their Columbus show. It's a very nice dedication, and you can find it on YouTube. I thought it was very kind that they spoke about Randy and Alexis, and it wasn't just a shout out to someone, it was a heartfelt message. In February of 2020, 10WBNS reported that the Columbus Police Missing Persons Unit still receives tips about Brian, and they work every single one of them, no matter how small. Detective Blanche Tucker, who is now over the case, said a few months before this article was written, they found a photo online of a man in Tijuana that she thought really could be Brian. She sent the photo to the FBI for facial recognition analysis. It took about 4 weeks for the FBI analysis to return, and it was determined, sadly, that the homeless man was not Brian. Detective Tucker also said that she plans to re-interview people from the case. She feels someone is withholding information. If you have any information on the disappearance of Brian Schaefer, contact Crime Stoppers of Central Ohio at 614-461-8477 or go to stopcrime.org to submit a tip online. My thoughts on this case? Wow, what a strange one. I honestly don't know where to begin. How does a grown man go missing, just vanish inside of a bar? A lot of people speculated that Brian may have just wanted to disappear after his mother passed away. And yeah, maybe. But why not come back? I get running away, but not leaving a family that you are extremely close with forever. And Clint, maybe he had something to do with it. But how did he get Brian out of the bar without anyone seeing him on cameras? I think he probably never left the bar alive, whether it was murder or an accident that was covered up. I think it happened inside that bar. The police were able to account for every single person on the surveillance footage that entered and exited the bar that night, except for Brian. Sadly, I think whatever happened, happened. And then they placed his body in something to remove it so it wouldn't be seen on cameras. I just think if he left the bar on his own 2 feet, he would have been seen on some camera somewhere. And he wasn't. I just don't think he left the bar alive that night. This case is so sad. And I feel so bad for Derek, who was left with no immediate family after the accident with his father. It's just so sad. So let me know your thoughts on this case at Bloodshed and Bagels on Instagram or Bloodshed Bagels on Twitter. I've been thinking about finding more random, lesser-known cases. So starting this week, I have a huge list of themes. And we'll be using a random number picker to pick each week's new case. So let's see what next week's case will be. Drum roll, please. Okay, Shady Cop. This should be interesting. So don't forget to check back next week to see what I come up with for a Shady Cop case. Thank you so much for listening. Please consider subscribing and don't forget to rate and review. Follow us on Instagram at Bloodshed and Bagels for more information on cases. Email us at bloodshedandbagels@gmail.com to submit cases you would like us to cover. See you guys later. Bye.